The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
You can be seated. Let's open our Bibles to the book of All right, thank you so much. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Titus. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. And I just want to say a big, big thank you and a big wow to those that have worked on this beautiful auditorium remodel. I was here last year, and I heard the plans about the new balcony and the platform, and it just looks beautiful, just beautiful. And I was standing on the pews just praising God. Then I found out we weren't supposed to do that. And then I was on top of someone's shoulders just praising God. And they said, you have to get down. It's a rule. So I had to stop praising God and sitting on the shoulders. But it was just a great, great, it's just gorgeous. And you've got a lot to be proud of, you at Parkside especially. And then it's good to see some folks that were back last year and to reacquaint some friendships. And how many girls would like to be engaged this time next year like that girl is right now? You'd like to be engaged? I see one, two. Now, we're giving an invitation. This is very important invitation. One, two. You'd like to be engaged by this time next year? No, girls only, not guys. One, two. Anybody else? Over here? Three, four. I got one old lady about 90 years of age. She didn't hear the question, I don't think. And four. All right, now I've got two boys. I've got two boys that are 22 each. So you just have to fight over them, girls. I mean, it's four of you, and it's just two of them. So we'll do that that King Solomon thing. We'll give you a sword. You're just going to have to split them in half. And that's what we'll do. So I did bring pictures of them, and I think it'll be a help. You know, some of you just need to trust the Lord. You know, you need to marry by faith, not by sight. Just trust us pastors when we say you need to date this guy. Just trust us. Looks is not everything. And you can tell that by just looking at some of these men that these women married here tonight. You know, they married them as a missions project just to help them and encourage them. And and especially a delight to be with your pastor. Brother Wells, I have admired him for many, many years. Knew him back in the Hattiesburg days, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and he was the youth pastor at that time. And then to see God call him into evangelism after he took the church in Tennessee and traveled all those years. And I don't know how many times I said, I think I have a church for you, and I'm an evangelist. I'm going to win the world. And then just hearing all the great things and the travels. And then to get to travel with him in the Philippines. And to find out, I mean, those people love him. He really goes to these places. You know, you always hear the stories. And, I mean, you know, is he like surfing in Hawaii? Is he really in Cambodia? Is he, you know, you can download those pictures and Photoshop yourself baptizing thousands. I mean, is he really there? So I flew over to make sure the stories were true. And they're not. And they said, Mike, who? And no, but he is loved. He is loved. Got to go to Dr. Gisalva's church, and he is just, he has taken that youth conference and just built it, and God has used him in so many ways. So I hope you Texans know what you have. When God brought him here, he gifted not only this church, but your state with someone who is not just a preacher, not just a soul winner extraordinaire, an author, a writer, a leader of leaders, training the next generation, training those national, not just preaching in crusades, but preaching to the pastors. So there's something that keeps going on. And so he's gifted your state, and I'm glad he's here. I am so glad he's here. And, you know, I'll be honest, I probably shouldn't say it. We tried to get him to California. And I had a church, I said, Brother Wells, you've got to come. And when God called him to Texas, I said, you got to be kidding. And we were disappointed because we know no one's lost in Texas. Everyone's saved. Everyone's saved. If you're born in Texas, you're just saved. It's you know, saved by grace through faith or born in Texas. It's the two ways of salvation. And it's just kind of like that. But then to be with my good friend, Brother Carr. You're in for a real treat in just a few moments when Brother Dan Carr preaches. Brother Carr has the touch of God on his life. I was there the week after Katrina hit. And here's a man that 40% of his congregation had nothing left but a cement foundation. Their houses were blown away. They had no jobs. And to see his church go from about 300 to 30 in 1 week. And those people just wondered what they were going to do. And for him to stand up and say, stay, God's got something good. They had no homes. They had no jobs. And those people by faith stayed. By the way, that's the name of his church, Faith Baptist. 1 year later, they had a Thanksgiving service just thanking God for sparing their lives on the anniversary of Katrina. And they had over 500. The next year, they broke 1,000 in their church. And so, hey, fellas that are called to preach, it's not just the sermon you preach from the pulpit. It's your life that preaches. And sometimes God sends us through these trials so everyone hears the seen sermon, not just the spoken sermon. So I hope you'll listen tonight to him. You don't have to listen to me. In fact, I didn't even know I was speaking tonight. I thought it was Brother Bachman. And so I tried to find something here tonight. So if you'll turn to the maps in the back of the Bible, you're going to be looking at... But Titus chapter 2. Let's stand in honor of God's word, if you would, for a moment. In Titus chapter 2, and I'll speak and try to get out of the way. And thank you for all the great introduction tonight and just all the planning. Beautiful special and beautiful choir special and just so many things I know that you've got planned this week. Titus chapter number 2. We'll look down at one verse. Titus, I'm still looking for it myself. Titus chapter 2, verse number 14. The Bible says, speaking of Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. Notice it's kind of all about us. You ever notice when you write Jesus' name, J-E-S-U-S? We are even in his name. He loves us so much. Isn't that amazing? Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. How many of you have ever seen somebody and you said, they sure look peculiar? How many girls have ever seen a guy in a church service and you looked over and said, oh, that guy's peculiar? Now, please don't point. It'll make people start crying tonight. Now, that word peculiar does not mean weird. We've had people come in our church in California, mohawks, piercings. We have a guy in our church. I probably shouldn't even say that. He's probably listening online from prison. No, excuse me, but he has shaved his head. I led him to the Lord. Has a tattoo of Jesus on the back of his head. I mean, it's right here and part of his neck. I mean, it covers the whole back of his head, part of his neck. So when he sits down in church, if you're behind him, it's, this guy, man, I better behave, man. Jesus is looking at me. It's the strangest thing. We have another guy who sits on the front row, and before he got saved in prison, he got all these skeleton tattoos. So from his knee on down, it's the tattoo of the leg bone and then all the feet bones. So when you look at him, when he's in shorts, comes out of church in shorts, it's like, oh, looks like he doesn't have any meat on his bones. It's scary, but that's not what peculiar means. It means special. So God has called us out to be a special people, a special people. Let's pray. Father, bless now the brief time we have tonight. Thank you for all the planning going into this and how Texas has really birthed so much of the gospel that has spread around the world, the J. Frank Norris Seminary many years ago, and now colleges you've raised up here in this state, youth conference, and we just ask that you speak to hearts. People have traveled, people are weary. Pray you'd help me say only just what ought to be said. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. America is sports crazy. You take the newspaper today, the USA Today, there's five sections. There's the news, there's the money, there's entertainment, and a whole section, sports. If you kept up with the World Cup, America did not win, but if you kept up, who won? Y'all vote! I don't know who won, but... But if you kept up, the world was watching that. And it just seems like it's on everyone's mind. We go from basketball, and then it's baseball season, and then it's now in the spring training, and that's football season again. And after football season, and then it's the Super Bowl, and then it's the and it just seems like there's no break anymore. It's always a season. I have an article in my office, and here's what it says. It has a little picture. It says, Pop Shortales. 46 years, he's not missed one Ansonia High School, Connecticut football game. Except when one fell on his wedding day, and he missed that game. He shouldn't have, but fell on his wedding day. And then it says, are you a super fan? In San Francisco last year, they featured a man at the halftime game, San Francisco 49ers. It's a football team. You've never heard of them, but the 49ers. And they featured this man who had not missed a 49er game in 63 years. You would call someone like that a fanatic. It's strange, these fanatics. The word fanatic means carried away beyond reason by feelings or belief. Zealous, enthusiastic, a spectator, a follower, an admirer. I think of even just going to a football game here. The tickets cost a lot of money. I think in Dallas it's $100 just to stand in the lobby. Yeah! Get drunk, celebrate, and see it on the screen. Who would have ever thought people pay $100 to stand in the lobby? They said when LSU, that's another football team, was in the national championship several years ago, they had as many people in the parking lot celebrating than they did in the stadium. Those Cajuns didn't even care if they got in the stadium. They were partying in the parking lot. It's expensive to get in. They won't even give you a ride to the game. The lines are long, there's a lot of traffic, the seats are hard, and there's a lot of yelling at these sports events. There's no seat sometimes. Sometimes people stand. There's pushing. There's neighbors you may not know. The restrooms are public. Some of the buildings don't even have a roof on top of them. And the prices of food are very, very high. We would call these people fanatics. The world has their fanatics. Then as I look in the Bible and read God's Word, I find out anyone that did anything great for God, that discovered the will of God, that was used of God in a mighty way, they were what we would call fanatics. One fella built a boat for 100 years on just one little command. I would call him a fanatic. One fellow was told to sacrifice his son on top of Mount Moriah. He brought him to the mount, took that knife out. If it had been my dad, he'd have said, what'd you say? How many of you are glad it wasn't one of your parents? Stop! What? Why? Here's a close call. Oh, Isaac, I think he went, whoo! His daddy was so old, he probably missed him. You know, just, I don't know. I would say a fanatic. Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho 13 times. David, a little shepherd boy, fought a giant. The first MMA cage fighting was David against Goliath, except there was no cage. Nehemiah, 52 days, built a wall. Three Hebrew children cast into the fiery furnace. The book of Acts, the disciples went house to house in Jerusalem and filled up the city with their doctrine. I would say that is pretty fanatical. Then I think of modern-day fanatics, a David Livingstone that spent his life in Africa. He said, I will give my life to set freedom to those slaves and the pain and suffering and end it and bring the gospel to the heart of Africa and map it out so dozens of missionaries could come. I would say that was a fanatic. He was bit by a lion and could not extend his arm or bend it after that in pain the rest of his life. Yet, he kept preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Adoniram Judson went to Burma. 6 years he labored without ever seeing a soul saved. Finally, he had one convert saved after 6 years. He kept preaching, kept translating the Word of God. And 30 years later, there were 200,000 Burmese converts. I would call that a fanatic. The disciples, people said, you know, you must be drunk. You're so happy and so excited. No, they were just fanatics. So the question is this tonight. Are you a Jesus fanatic? Are you a Jesus fan? Are we more fanatical about sports than we are about our Savior tonight? I want to just give you several character traits of Jesus fans, and you just kind of judge yourself. Are you a Jesus fan? Because it is time in our society with all the texting and the sexting and all the Facebook and all the things that are going on and the idol worship of Justin Bieber, Bucktooth Kid, Bieber, and Leave It to Bieber, and Justin Bieber, who's egging people's houses, and Miley Cyrus, who doesn't know how to put clothes on, and a Madonna, who doesn't know what hairstyle she'll have, and we have all these things going on, and if we're ever going to reach our country for God, there's got to be some fanatics. It's got to be someone who is more fanatical about Jesus than anything else. I read in the paper today that the KISS group, the perverts, Knights in Satan Service or whatever they were called, they've been together 35 years now. And they're still together. They're now in their 60s. They're old men. They'll change the name. It ain't KISS anymore. They probably don't even have teeth. They can't even pucker, I don't think. But guess what? They're still together. They're going to Las Vegas. They're going to have concert after concert. They are still fanatical about what they're doing. What are character traits of a Jesus fan? I'll give them to you quickly. Number one, they've taken sides. You will never see anyone walk into a Super Bowl and say, Bro Mike, who are we going to root for? What do you think? We're here. We're in the stadium. Who you think we ought to pull for? Hey, that's decided a long time before. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And young people, the sooner you decide whose side you're on, the happier your life will be. You'll never... That's what's wrong with the backsliders. In church, out of church. In the world, and back out. And they come back with a new tattoo. And they come back with a new child on their hip. And they come back with a new husband or a new wife. They've never decided who they're going to serve. There was a family that got saved. And they bought one of these little Christian door knockers that went on their front door. It said, as for me and my house, you've seen them. I saw one another day. Crazy thing. Came up to this house. And on their mailbox, they had a big sign, mailbox. M-A-L-E-B-O-X, mailbox. They couldn't even spell mail, unless all the guys are supposed to get in their mailbox. I don't know. But it said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The whole family got saved except the oldest teenage boy named Henry. Henry, you want to come to church? No, I'm not going to church. You want to get saved? No. Next day on the front door it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the dad stuck a note under it. It said, except Henry. Henry came home from school that day and he says, hey, what's with my name on the front door? I don't appreciate that. The dad says, we just put it the way it is, son. The whole house is serving God. You don't want to, so we'll just stick it on the door. Wasn't long till Henry got saved. And when Henry got saved, he said, Dad, can you take my name off the door now? It's time to take sides. Colonel Travis at the Alamo, not too far from here in San Antonio, drew his boot in the dirt and said, you're going to fight for Texas or you're going to run. What are you going to do? Stay and be a hero and be remembered forever or run and never be remembered. It's time some of you crossed over the line. Some of you have been looking at the line. Some of you have been counting the cost. Some of you know people that's going across the line, and maybe it's fearful. It's just time some people decided to take sides. Love not the world, neither the thing. You can't have both. You're going to give it all to the devil. You're going to give it all to God sooner or later. Number two, they arrive early. Fanatics arrive early. The Bible says Mary was early at the tomb. No wonder she saw Jesus first before anybody else. She was there. Let me encourage you. When something's important, don't be late. We got people in our church, they drive 1 hour to church. They're there 30 minutes early. We got people that live on the church property. That's always late. I guess too much traffic. I don't know. You say, Pastor, what about the rapture? It's going to be two raptures. It's going to be, Jesus is going to sound the trump. All the dead in Christ shall rise. All the Christians arise. 5 minutes later, all the Baptists will come. You're not going to see anybody this Super Bowl pay $6,000 for a Super Bowl ticket and show up the third quarter. We're here. We're here. You know, we just had some things we had to do. We're here. If it's important, get to church. Get to church early. Get a good seat. You're saying something by being here early. Not only that, time doesn't bother them. When you're at a game that you have paid good money for, it's, hey, man, just keep it going. You'll never see anybody at a Super Bowl. It's going kind of late. You got things to do. I mean, what do you, hey, hurry up and score. What are you thinking? Man, it's, hey, sudden death overtime. Yeah, more for our buck. I had someone come up to me after a church service a while back. And they said, you ripped us off today. I said, do what? They said that to the pastor. You gypped us. I said, I don't know what you're saying. You only preached 35 minutes. We got ready. We came here. Man, we're here a while. Let us have it. I said, I wish everyone felt that way. The Apostle Paul showed up on a Sunday night. He's preaching to that crowd, the one that wrote 13 books of the Bible. The Bible says he preached. There was a guy sitting in the brand new remodeled balcony. His name was Eutychus, which translates fortunate or lucky. He was in the window. It was hot. He's looking down. Paul waxed eloquent. Paul preached an hour. Paul preached 2 hours. Paul preached 3 hours. Soon the grandfather clock went, man, this is long. And Scripture says Paul was long in preaching. People didn't say that. The Holy Spirit said that. That's inspired Scripture. The God who's been around for billions of years, Ancient of Days, forerunner, preeminent, said, that guy's preaching a long time. Poor old Eutychus couldn't take it anymore. He's trying to take a deep breath, trying to stay awake. He looked outside to see what the world was doing, looked inside to see what the church was going, rolled over in bed, he thought, flew out of the window, yeah! Paul ran out, says, time out! Ran out, raised him from the dead, threw him on the front row. His dad says, told you, you should have been sent in the balcony. And then Paul preached till dawn. He preached till the sun went down, then he preached till the sun went up. We read that one time. I said, we're going to have a Paul night. We invited a guest speaker. Now, I can tell you who it was, Johnny Pope. I said, well, he can keep our attention. He preached from 7 till midnight. I said, some of you live for the devil. You were out in bars all night long. You were in drug concerts. You were at rock and roll places. If you can be out all night for the devil, we can be in church one night all night long. And we did it. We survived. Time doesn't bother them. You ought to encourage your pastor. Pastor, you need to preach longer. You say, he already preaches an hour and a half. One poor old boy looked over at his mother during church and he said, what's after this? His mother said, Tuesday. Number four, a Jesus fan wants a seat up front. A seat up front. Someone says, I got free tickets to the Super Bowl. Where you want to sit? I want to sit in the balcony. I want to sit as far away from the field as you can because I love looking at the players with my binoculars. Hey, I want a 50-yard line seat. I want to be sitting on the field with the players. That's where I want to be. Hey, get this. Conviction doesn't travel more than 20 feet. You have to Google it. It's just a new fact. You don't see people called to preach from the last row 150 yards from the pulpit. You don't usually see people say, hey, that song, from 5 rows back, I remember it. Well, it wasn't from 250 yards back, I remember it. Well, you couldn't even hear it. Hey, you want to get something out of the message? Get up front. When you get stuck in the back, here's what happens. You see everyone who scratches, everyone who yawns, every husband who's kind of arguing with his wife. You see people texting. Too many distractions. Sit on the front. Let the spit spit on you. Had a college professor said, you want to make an A in my class? Sit on the front row. I said, what's that got to do with making an A? He said, no distractions. You'll get the material, you'll make an A. One young man in our church, Corey Sulian, not going to mention his name or embarrass him. He is rebellious. His mother found marijuana in his room, grounding him for 100 years. And she said, from now on, son, you'll sit with me or at least in front of me every church service. No more sitting in the back and talking and cutting up. So she sat on the second row over here. So guess where he sat? Way over here on the front row. He was technically in front of her. Wasn't long before he got right. Wasn't long before he got called to preach. Wasn't long before he finished Bible college. Wasn't long before he moved to Longmont, Colorado. Oh, it's 20th anniversary of being a pastor this year. How come he moved to the front? Amen. It'll make a difference. Guarantee you, someone ought to make a decision every Sunday. I'm moving up a row. If you're on the 10th row, by about 10 weeks from now, you'll be on the front row. What do you do after that? Then sit on the platform. What do you do after that? Then sit in the baptistry. What do you do after that? Die and be a heavenly witness up in heaven. That's what you do. Number five, they never miss a game. They never miss a game. A real fan say, how'd you like the game last week? Oh, didn't have time to watch it. A real fan, they saw it, they saw all of it, they recorded it, they watched it, they know all about it. Never miss a game, never miss a church service. Amen. Well, what if I'm sick? Crawl in. You can feel bad here or feel bad there. I've missed one church, one Sunday in 25 years. I had meningitis, I was isolated in the hospital one Sunday. We miss too many church services, young people. Well, Susie had her first communion. Let her do her communion at church. So-and-so had their quinceañera. Let them do it somewhere else. Well, my friend dropped in. Good, let them drop into church. We miss church too much. It may be the service God's going to reach down and call you to preach and change your life, and you're not there. Discover the will of God. He was about to reveal it, and you weren't there. Nothing's more disheartening to a pastor than have a message ready and he's got you in mind, he's got you prayed over, and you're not there. What else? They dress funny. We were at one game, a guy wore a barrel and a pair of suspenders. That's what he had on. Pair of suspenders and a barrel. Yeah! The barrel guy. They paint their faces. They wear masks. Some of the guys don't even wear shirts. Some of them, it's kind of a line. They spell it C-O-Y-B-O-Y-S. And all these weird colors. Jesus fans, they dress a little funny. In the Bible days when someone got saved, like the maniac of Gadara, he was naked, lived in the cemeteries. One preacher called him the nude dude in the rude mood. When he got saved, he was seated at Jesus' feet and clothed. Yes. When people get saved, they put on clothes. Yes. Little boy was lost in a store, a department store. Couldn't find his mother. The little police officer is trying to find his mother, and he's crying. Finally brings the little boy to his mother and says, he said, how come you didn't hold on to her dress? He said, I couldn't reach it. All right, there you go, girls. It was too high. They dress funny. They dress modest. They wear these weird things around their neck. What is this about? Jesus never wore a tie. We won't be ties in heaven. You know what I'm going to love up in heaven? The white robes. We guys are going to wake up every morning. Ralph, what are you wearing? White robe. Jose, what are you wearing? White robe. You ladies are going to hate it. You're going to hate it. She's wearing my outfit. All you get is a white robe. We'll never have to wait on you again. You'll wake up in the morning ready. Perfect hair days all the time. No makeup needed. It's permanently made up all the time. Well, I'm not going to get saved if we have to wear the same stuff. Good. Well, we'll wear your extra robe then. Quickly, they give their money. Young people, now's the time you need to start this thing of stewardship. Stewardship is not a fundraising thing for our church. Well, they pass the plate, so the pastor gets a big raise, gets a brand new car. No, it's so we get a brand new boat. I get it right. No, I'm just kidding. God doesn't need our money. Streets of heaven are paved with gold. Tithing is about not being covetous. You own it all, glad to give it. Wish I could give 100% every week. It keeps you from chasing after things. Then he says, give and it shall be given unto you. You cannot outgive God. As he learns to trust you, giving him back what's already his, he starts pouring out blessings, giving you things you never thought you'd ever possess, own, or enjoy. I just finished a book on it, 70 chapters. It's called Look What God Did For Me. And all it is just little short things that God did especially for me. They give the money. You know, some people would think nothing about giving $6,000 to go to a Super Bowl. But if that same person dropped $6,000 in their church offering plate, people would say, cult. Yet we'll spend $200 for a new pair of shoes, $250 for the latest cell phone, and we think nothing of it. You want to get in the habit of God gets the first 10%, then missions get some, and when there's someone passing through town, we need to learn to be givers. There's too many of us doing this these days. When I was a little kid, we had kids in our neighborhood that would remind you of the little rascals. And the ice cream man one day, his truck broke down. And he said, if you kids push my truck and help me jumpstart it, then we should have sued him for child labor laws being broken. And I was one of the minorities. I just want you to know. In Louisiana, I was one of the first minorities. I was one of the short people. Because everyone else was tall. And so we started pushing that ice cream truck. And as we got it going, since I was so little, once it started rolling, I just jumped on the bumper. He gave us each an ice cream, but mine didn't taste as good as everybody else's because I was riding on the bumper. Young people, learn to be a giver. Amen. Jesus fans are always givers. Amen. What else? And I must hasten because Brother Carr's message is till midnight tonight. Not only that, they're close to each other. When you're a Jesus fan, you're close to the other fans. Well, I don't have any friends. If you become a fanatic, you will. You can just walk into a mall, see someone. Are there any football teams in Texas, like pro teams? Is there a pro team here? I know my team, the New Orleans Saints, I know they're from Louisiana. Is there a team in Texas? Is there a team? Tony, somebody takes the hikes and then throws it to the other players. What's that guy's name, Tony? No, it's not Homo. Don't say that. Romo. Yeah, Dallas Cowboys. All you have to do is walk in, or Philadelphia Eagles, or whoever your team is. All you have to do is walk into the mall. You see someone with a Dallas jersey on and just say, Cowboys, 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 Cowboys. You got a friend. You don't have to get that little Woody and say, you got a friend in me. There's an automatic friendship. Why? Because you identified with them. Years ago, I bought a motorcycle when I was a youth pastor. I was told if you have a motorcycle, you're cool. You'll attract teenagers to the teen group. Boy, did I look cool. Had that burgundy metal flake Honda 400. Had a gold metal flake helmet. My little tie blowing in the wind. Tracks going out of my pocket. I'd pull up to a red light and then there'd be some Hell's Angel guy with a roach clip on his ear and a Lone Star Baptist College tattoo on his arm, and he'd be pulling up and I'd just kind of look over and I'd say, hey, 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 we were kind of kin. Jesus fans are close to each other. Not only that, we'll have to just give you the rest of them. They know the players' names. What's a guy throwing the ball? If you're a fan, you know his name. What's a guy hiking? You already know his name. What's a coach's name? You know his name. It's time that some of us got this book and read this book and found out who Samuel is and John the Baptist and Jehoshaphat and some of the disciples' names. We know their names and don't know these names. Not only that, Jesus fans bring their programs when they come to the game. You know, it's time that the young people in our churches, before they leave their house, they grab... Oh, by the way, how about that one, huh? Hey, like that? That is Impala. So I can preach real fast sermons. See, I'm impressed. All the way from Africa. And it's got its own natural bookmarker. And so let me see. Here we go. You say, Pastor, I don't get heads or tails of what you're saying. Well, you'll maybe get it later. Not only that, Jesus fans forget their problems when they're at the game. You watch a football game, next time you see it, and here we are, we're looking in the stands, and there's a husband and wife arguing. It has to, it has not, it has to, it has. You don't see that? And folks, the counseling room is over on this part of the stadium. If you're depressed, if you have problems, someone will meet you there. No one's got any problems when they're at the game. They are consumed. They're looking at the field. They have forgotten themselves. And that's what church does for us. When we get to church, we park our burdens at the cross and we come and let God speak to us. Oh, back to bring your programs. I remember now. It's time that we brought our Bibles to church. Amen. One Sunday, I'm just going to stand up and say, open your Bibles to Nahum 1:3. The Bible says, give the pastor $150,000 a year raise. Give him a new car and buy him a new house this year. Amen. People don't bring their Bible. They don't know what it says. I don't know. I'm just a little old-fashioned. I'm into the tech stuff. I've got a cell phone now. I know how to text with two thumbs. I can even text with this finger. I can read an email. But I still have a hard time someone bringing their phone to church and looking at the Bible on that. And I know it's God's word. I know how to change. But I have a hard time singing that song, get the new look from the iPhone. Get the new look from the iPad. Get the new... I can see it now. Come lead this sinner to Christ. Well, I don't even have a Bible. I hadn't brought a Bible to church in a year. Got my iPad with the Word of God. All right, show it to them here. Oh, that's... Oh, the battery ran out. There's power in the gospel, but no power in my iPad. He can't get... Come back next week. We'll charge it up. You can get saved next week. What's wrong with the old iPad my mother used to read from? Get you a Bible that's in book form. You can hold it up. Maybe we're just a little bit ashamed. A phone, no one knows you have the Bible on it. iPad, no one knows. But when you got that black book or whatever color your Bible is, it just stands you out as a fanatic. Just a thought. And then last, almost last, Jesus fans, they talk of their team. I guarantee you, if you're a fan for any sports team, all I have to do is say, New Orleans Saints, man, they're having a good season this year. Had that Drew Brees. You ready to talk? Let's talk about Jesus, the King. Hey, on Facebook, we can talk about people. Hey, I don't like that girl and who she thinks she is. Well, we can talk real good on Facebook. We can talk real good on MySpace. When's the last time we said, hey, did you get one of these? I think it's a gospel track. Did you get one of these? When Carl Hatch was alive, no one wanted to take him out to eat. You spent a lot of time with him. You know what I'm talking about. Last time I took him out to eat was at a Piccadilly restaurant. None of the staff wanted to. They were embarrassed. We're walking through. We're putting the food on the little Piccadilly tray. And he goes, "Hey, ma'am, old Mike here is saved. Aren't you, Mike?" I said, "Yes, sir, Brother Hatch." I'm saying, "Tell her about it." Now, there's a time to witness and a time to eat. I finally get through my tray, and we sit down. We're about to sit down at the table. He goes, "Hang on just a minute." He goes, "Hey, sir, did y'all have prayer over your meal?" "Ma'am, did y'all have prayer over your meal? Y'all pray over your meal?" "No." "Sir, did you have prayer for your meal?" "Ma'am, did y'all have prayer for your meal?" "Mike here is going to pray for everyone's meal. But before he does, he's going to read you four verses in the book of Romans about knowing you're going to heaven one day, aren't you?" When's the last time you even gave one out? You say, "Well, I may offend somebody." Into hell number two? Into hell number three? Where are you going to offend them to? When's the last time you asked if you died today, would you go to heaven? When's the last time you opened God's word and shared with people? See, I've been doing this since seventh grade. I came to these things. I'm 57 years of age this Saturday. By the way, mail all the birthday cards and gifts. 37, 70, anyway, you'll get that. I came to these things. I worked on a bus route, saw my first soul saved when I was seventh grade. I'm still doing it. It's been over 40 years. Last week, 14 hours, door to door to door to door to door. Won four people to Christ, had two visitors come to church. Why? Because it's the most exciting thing I've ever done in my life. Some of you are having boring summers and you're bored out of your mind. So you're thinking of immorality, or you're thinking of drugs, or you're thinking of alcohol, and you're thinking of rebellion. If you'll get out and see someone saved, it's nothing like it. Led a lady to Christ this last week. She said, "This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me." I said, "It is." And then last, Jesus fans are vocal. They're vocal. You'll never hear anyone at a stadium say, "Shh, shh." They can say, "Hi, yeah!" People leave hoarse. When's the last time you left church hoarse? You say, "Well, we ladies are to be silent in the churches." Well, isn't that good? You know that one verse. That interpretation means you are not to be over a man teaching a man. It does not mean you are silent in the pews. You know what a lady can do? They can nod their head. And they can smile. And if the guy next to her is not amening, you can just hit him with an elbow so at least he goes, "Oh!" So the pastor says, "Open your Bible." It's better than silence. You know, it's real lonely in the pulpit when the pastor says, "There's a hell," and it's silence. And the visitors say, "I guess no one believes it but that guy hollering." And fellas, amen at the right time. Some of you guys don't have a clue. And if your voice sounds like a little girl, if you're a seventh grader, don't amen. One time I was in church and I said, "The pastor doesn't need a raise." And the guy said, "Amen." I said, "Shut up." So the pastor says, "Hell is hot. Don't say glory to God." Amen at the right time. But someone ought to say, "Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah." Vocal. Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We were at a New Orleans Saints game many years ago. They played the 49ers. 49ers had this great team. Joe Montana, Roger Craig. I mean, it was the Super Bowl team. Saints had won about one game that year. They flew out to California to play the 49ers. My wife and I and my friend Tracy Ross each got a ticket. We came, jerseys, unashamed. As we walked in, we were laughed at, booed, pointed at, what are you guys doing here? Y'all a bunch of losers. It was three Saints fans in the stadium. We were them. 49ers would score, and the whole section would look at us and laugh. They scored and laughed, scored and laughed. It was 62-0 by the end of the fourth quarter. 49ers were putting in the cheerleaders, the mothers of the players, the grandmothers of the players. We still had our first string in there. Finally, toward the end of the game, the Saints ran the ball in the end zone and we scored. Us three. Yeah! Stadium was silent except for us. Vocal. Some of us scream and holler at all kind of things. Game shows. All sorts of things. Church dead as a hammer. Shame on us. Shame on us. I'm done with this. We're not to be the only fans. There is someone else who is a fan. And that's Jesus Christ. You know whose fan he is? Yours. If Jesus wore a jersey, you know whose name would be on the back? Yours. He loves you like you were his only child. He's the one that rejoices when you make right decisions. He's the one that there's a joy in the presence of the angels. That's him over a sinner that receives Christ. He is your biggest fan, cheering for you, interceding for you, and praying for you. You are never, ever, ever, ever alone. Amen. One day there's going to be a great big reunion, and all the fans will be together forever. Let me ask you a question. Are you a Jesus fan? You know, and others know.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.